today on The Word of Truth Revealed.
Why don't you talk to someone who's done it and find out what's going on in their lives so you don't have to relive it or recreate it? Why wouldn't you, if you're a young believer, get with someone who's been there, done that, and got the t-shirt and learn from their experiences? Why would you say, that's not me, or I can just do what God is telling me to do? I don't believe in all of that. When somebody can help you and stop you from making the greatest mistake of your life. Why would God send me when I got all of these plans in my life on another track?
Celebrating 32 years of ministry, you're listening to The Word of Truth Revealed with Bishop Merton L. Clark, author, speaker, and lead pastor of Truth Revealed International Ministries, a spirit-filled fellowship of believers located in Palm Bay, Florida.
Join Bishop Clark for the message, Fashioned While Under Pressure. Today, Bishop will be teaching from Jeremiah chapter 18, verses 1 through 6.
We like to preach it, man. We like preachers to preach it. And Jesus was in Gethsemane, next to olive trees. And when he prayed before the cross, he said, Lord, take this cup from me. Take it away. I looked in the cup. There's too much there. They're going to beat me. They're going to tear my flesh. They're going to pierce me. They're going to put a crown of thorns on me. It's going to hurt. They're going to beat the bottom of my feet with iron spikes. The inside of my legs, in my genitals. They're going to rip the flesh from my bones. They're going to tear flesh. That's how bad it was. The Roman soldiers beat him almost half to death. He bled. He almost lost all of his blood. Mel Gibson can't show you in a movie form what it was really like. Isaiah peeked into it and said he was unrecognizable on the cross. That's how bad he was beaten, flesh hanging. He was torn like that. And when he looked in the cup to see that kind of abuse to the human flesh, he said, Lord, let this cup pass from me. Then he kicked in, divinity kicked in, and he said, nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. This is our Savior who came to a point in his life where he didn't want God's will. He said, let it pass because it's going to be tough for me. But then divinity kicked in. And there's a time in your life where you have to look into the cup of your circumstance and say, Lord, I don't want it, but nevertheless, if you have me walking down this path, you know what's best for me. And if you have me walking down this path, give me the strength to make those steps. My steps are ordered by the Lord, but they're my steps. The path that I'm on, he decides. Glory to God. And he takes some of us down paths and we got to step over minefields. And sometimes we stand alone and everybody else seems to have a party. But it's the path that he has for us. I wouldn't want my path to be yours because you may not be fitted for it. But your steps are your steps. Glory to God. And make sure every step that you make, you're moving closer to the will of God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So let's get over this battle so we can start flowing with God. Thank you, Lord. I remember the Flintstones. It's one of the cartoons that I used to see when I was a child. And one of the things that Barney Rubble and Fred used to have, they didn't have a braking system. So when it was time to stop, they just took their feet and applied pressure on the ground to stop it, to stop the vehicle, right? Now, could you imagine me trying to drive and I got a Fred Flintstone putting his feet on the floor to stop me from moving forward? But I'm trying to go forward and I got a passenger that's applying pressure to stop the momentum. And I want you to see it's one vehicle now, but two different actions. Right now, I control who drives, who goes forward, or if I'm going in reverse or doing any of that as the driver in my vehicle. But for Barney Rubble, it was different. And some of us are so prehistoric in our thinking.
We wonder why we haven't really caught up with the aerodynamics of God. Because we're still battling. We got one foot applying brakes while someone else, another foot, is trying to push gas or move forward. And this is why we've never stepped into the aerodynamics to even move beyond that kind of travel to flying. It's amazing to me we got a Fred Flintstone and then a George Jetson. Jetson believed that you can defy gravity.
Man, help me, Jesus.
And I believe that even in that prehistoric stuff, those cartoons, God can give us a lesson about how we can take off. But you got to get over the battle that you have within yourself of pushing forward and pulling back. Surrender to the will of God. Glory, hallelujah. Glory to God. Romans chapter 8 and verse 28. For we know, say we know. There's some things you got to know now. You got to know if you're going to allow him to fashion you under pressure. For we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. He said all things eventually are going to work together for my good. All things. Say all things. All things. That means your setback, your lack of funds, your frustration, all of it. Not just the high things, the bad reports, all of the stuff that happened in the past and up to this present. He can take it all. And he can put it together and make it work out for the good. He works all things together for the good of those who love the Lord. And I don't know if we push that all enough. Because again, you got to get over this fighting with the will of God. God's will does not have to agree with our will. It may be totally different from our will. It's not always totally different. It's not always. Sometimes the longer you walk with God, he will create a desire in you that will comply with his word. But you got to get with him to get there. You got to grow with him. He will make your desires his. It will be in compliant with his will for your life. But it takes some time to grow into that. Thank you, Lord. For new believers, stop expecting God to agree with you. And that sounds tough. And a lot of people are going to churches where they're making it feel like you got it. You move it. But sometimes God will put you on a track and have you going down a path where nothing will really seem to shift for 3-4 years. But if you just stick with it, after a while, you realize that he was making you over. He was applying or creating a divine recipe for your future. Thank you, Lord. Whew. I like that. And we know, Paul said, we know that all things work together. You must have heard the expression, he is the potter and I am the clay. Mold me, make me. This is what I pray. It's a metaphor. We saw it right there in the scripture out of Jeremiah 18. Thank you, Lord. Jeremiah cries out, and the word of the Lord came to him while down in the potter's house. What does the potter put on? Why does the potter put us on wheels? Why would he spin us like that? Remember, all things work together for the good. He said, I saw him doing a work on the wheel. So he's sitting, the potter's sitting. He has some type of apparatus that he's using with his foot to spin the wheel. It's really a table. And he's molding the clay with his hand. Why does he put us on a wheel of circumstances? Glory to God. Why when we fix our eyes on one thing, we spin to the next? When we try to gather, we spin to the next. Why are we on a wheel of circumstance? And for some of us, it's one thing after another. There seems to be no end. Thank you, Lord.
As a pastor, I can get a call like Charmaine. Charmaine just had her bouncing baby girl on Thursday night. 9 pounds, 2 ounces, 3 ounces. My God. While the praise team is practicing here, she's giving birth to her second child, her new baby girl. I think the father said, "Ooh, I'm a girl daddy or something like that. Daddy, I'm a daddy to a girl. Girl daddy, yeah, girl dad." Amen. He's excited about that. Why would God spin us on wheels? For some people, it's as they transition out of the greater New York area, the metropolitan, back into this area. Why take me there and then bring me back? I could have just settled there. Things are nice. But why would you put me on that track to take me there and bring me back? Some people want to make more money in this room right now, and you're thinking about moving to another place because you can make more money. But let me tell you something about money. You can get what you want and lose what you have. If you got stability, what are you trying to do? Money don't make you happy. You got to discipline yourself anyway. Elon Musk don't spend as much of his money as you spend. That's why he's got a surplus. You had his money, you'd be having islands and flying everywhere, doing all this stuff. And if you went to him, he got all of the money. He could take care of all of us with $2 million a piece, and we'll be set. And he wouldn't even give you the money. He would say, "Well, what do you do with your money on a daily basis? Do you budget?" That's what the questions he would ask. And he's got the money to take care of all of us. All I'm saying to you is that money, a lot of money, don't change things. Why would a couple move to Atlanta, be blessed of the Lord, and then transition back? Say, "We're coming home." And you thinking about what you're going to do when you go somewhere. Why don't you talk to someone who's done it and find out what's going on in their lives so you don't have to relive it or recreate it? Why wouldn't you, if you're a young believer, get with someone who's been there, done that, and got the t-shirt and learn from their experiences? Why would you say, "That's not me," or "I can just do what God is telling me to do, I don't believe in all of that," when somebody can help you and stop you from making the greatest mistake of your life? Why would God send me when I got all of these plans in my life on another track? Because he says he's concerned about people in this region, so he rescues me from my own desires and bring me into his divine will. Not just his permissive will, but his perfect will. Glory to God. His divine plan for my life, which does not match what I wanted to do in life. Why would he arrest me, but you can do whatever you want to do? You can go wherever you want to go. You don't want no restraints, but he takes some of us and arrests us to give you a word to stabilize you so the hemorrhaging can stop. You don't care about his will and how he maneuvers in the lives of other people? Sometimes he'll take one to chase a thousand. Thank you, Lord. I know y'all say sometimes, "What's wrong with him?" But I'm all right. I'm all right. Let me get me some water. Ah, Jesus. Why does God put us on a wheel? How do you tell me you're moving me forward, but I'm spinning? Sometimes I feel like I'm spinning my wheels. I'm running, but I'm on a treadmill. Ain't going nowhere. Why does God bear down on us with pressure sometimes? Sometimes it seems like you have no ability to bear it. Thank you, Jesus. Why does he keep on working in us, molding us, shaping us? Why would he not just throw the clay away? Notice in our text, Jeremiah 18, he looked at the clay and said it's marred, and he made a decision not to throw it away, but just to make it over. Now me, I'm a perfectionist. So before we had computers and Word, if I was writing a document or typing it and I made a mistake, I would just pull it out of the typewriter and throw it away. Start over. Instead of saying, you know what, there's white out. Then the computers came in and I was able to say, whoa, the word processors first. Then when the computers came in and Word showed up, you know, you can kind of just erase your mistakes. And Word will show you where you made a mistake. Made it real good for preachers. Real good. I don't know why anybody would want to study the Word now. Because it's easy to study. When I first started ministering, I had 9 books open at one time. 9 books looking, oh, whoa. Just fascinated with an insatiable appetite to get in the Word. And that's what I pray. The Holy Ghost invade you and give you an insatiable appetite that you will get in the Word. Turn off game. Ooh, the heat and the worry, the heat and the Indiana Pacers. The Nuggets, the Golden Nuggets. See, I don't even remember. I don't even know. I used to be into this stuff, man. I pray God give you an insatiable appetite where you'll study. Get something in you instead of being entertained. Reels are entertainment. And the word entertainment means you're enthralled so much that you get stuck. You don't grow when you see entertainment. There's nothing cognitive that's going on in your mind when you're going from real to real. It's when you study, when you apply certain techniques to study, glory to God, that you start growing intellectually. That's why you can have people, you can tell if they really graduated from college and got their degree because their language will change. If you're still saying I ain't got no nothing and you're talking about you got a doctorate degree, I have a problem with you. Triple negatives. I ain't got no nothing. Never mind. Man, that's Southern talk, man. That's Southern. I ain't got no nothing. I ain't got no nothing. My mama said, I'm going to Miami. She said, Miami. I said, it's Miami. She said, I said. It's my ammo. Okay, mom. Let's look at Genesis 50 and verse 20. Whew, he's fashioning somebody. And Joseph looked at his brothers and said these words, you intended to harm me. But God, look at the word, say intended. God intended it for good to accomplish what is now being done, to save the saving of many lives. Joseph didn't say, you meant it for evil and God turned it around for my good. He said, you meant it for evil, you intended to harm me, and God intended it. In other words, his plan was involved in that. The path that Joseph took from the pit to the pot to the prison and then to the throne was all a part of God's plan to develop him to be the vessel of glory that God wanted him to be. Which means if he bypassed one of those stages, he would have missed a portion of his polishing. He wouldn't have been attractive at that level as Zaphnath-Paneah. But he had to go through all of those stages to be made into the man that God wanted him to be. And God, my friends, wants you to go through every stage because he's going to use it to create something in you that will transcend what you're going through. And you will begin to see that the better or the latter is greater than what you came out of. You mean to tell me God intended for you to go through what you went through? Yes! Not for you to quit at this stage. But all beloved is for the next level. For him to look at you as a vessel and say, I'll use that vessel now. Glory to God. Take you off the shelf and begin to apply you to circumstance. And pour you, put it, fill you up, and then pour you into another vessel. Even larger or smaller vessels that will fill them up, glory to God, because you have the capacity to carry something. You mean to tell me he meant it so I can carry something? He meant it. He developed me, took me through those things so I can carry something valuable? Absolutely. Is always shifting your capacity. Now this passage, when it comes alive in you, because we like to preach it, don't make sense. You meant it for evil, but God turned it around for my good. God don't turn nothing around for your good. He meant it too. He ain't trying to kill you now, but he meant it. Notice when the enemy rose up in the brothers of Joseph, they wanted to kill him. But Reuben said, don't kill the lad. Judah said, don't kill him. Don't spill his blood. God always protects life. Glory to God. But he intended for the boy to go into the pit. He intended for him to wear the coat of many colors. But he didn't see red in that coat. It wasn't just black and purple and gold. There was some red in there. Red represents suffering. And he didn't even realize that his life would pattern after Jesus as a type of Christ that will go into hell and on the third day come out of the pit with his train filled with souls. Notice when Joseph ascended, he didn't just ascend out of the pit, but he also went down into the dungeons. But when he ascended, he was able to lead captivity captive. Glory to God. In his position and his authority, he affected the entire region. And to get there without any federal training, without any institution of learning, he had to go through the school of hard knocks. Glory to God. Just like you. So stop complaining about your school and your school work. Just endure it and God will bless you. All eyes on the potter. A lot of times we want to put our eyes on the clay, but I need you to look over the shoulder of the potter. He's in charge. Go back with Jeremiah to the potter's house. You won't discover the purpose for your life until you get to know the potter. You won't know or discover the purpose of your life until you stop focusing on the pain of the fashioning and get the mind of the potter. You can learn something more important than spin, than the pressure. You can understand that the potter has a purpose for you. Watch him. Keep your eyes on the potter, not on the spin. Close your eyes to the spin and to what happened. God is shifting you now from the spin in your life, or focusing on the spins and how things don't make sense and how you can't stand it any longer and you don't like people and you don't trust anybody and you got this attitude with yourself. Eventually the spin will stop. You got to focus on the intent of the potter that is actually working the spin and applying the pressure, because he has purpose for all of it. Thank you, Lord. For a moment, I want you to tap into that. Write it down. God don't play with clay.
Thanks for joining us for the Word of Truth Revealed. If you were blessed by today's message, we would love to hear from you. You can email us at thewordoftruth@truthrevealed.org. For an MP3 of today's message, Fashioned While Under Pressure, log on to our website at www.truthrevealed.org and download reference number 2306-1108. That's reference number 2306-1108.
Bishop and Pastor Sabrina will celebrate their 30th wedding anniversary next Sunday, July 2nd. All cards and acts of kindness are welcome. Show them your love online at truthrevealed.org or the Truth Revealed mobile app. Cash App is also available at Truth Revealed 2, and checks should be payable to Truth Revealed and indicate wedding anniversary on the memo line. Registration for Vacation Bible School 2023 Ready, Set, Move is open. Children will move to follow Jesus here, there, and everywhere with this engaging hands-on experience scheduled for Monday, July 17th through Friday, July 21st. Scan the QR code, log on to our website, truthrevealed.org, or check out the mobile app to register your children ages 2 through 6th grade. Awaken Women, save the date, and join Pastor Sabrina for Resilient, a Faith That Stands, the 2023 annual Awaken Women's Conference scheduled for Friday and Saturday, September 22nd and 23rd. Conference registration will open in mid-July. For more information, email awaken@truthrevealed.org.
Again, thank you for joining us and have a blessed day.
Get up.